The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Susan Dellinger from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading to you from Oprah Magazine, April 2018, Volume 20, Number 4. And this is the fourth and final installment of the April issue. On this month's cover, Oprah sits with her elbows propped up on a table in front of her, and her hands are clasped near her chin. She's wearing a crisp white shirt and polished gold rings and a bangle bracelet, and all of this is against a white background. Her hair is pulled into a tight ponytail, and she's wearing tortoise-rimmed glasses. This month's headline is, "What Would You Stand Up For?" It's your time to rise and be the light you want to see. The big white O for Oprah Magazine sits on an earthy coral ombre background. And we'll start off this final installment with advice from Martha Beck. And this is the fourth of a four-part series in the Live Your Best Life section of the magazine, and it's called A Self-Made Woman. Dixie Late and O Life Coach Martha Beck meet for their final session. But for Dixie, this is just the beginning. 4 months ago, freelance writer Dixie Late, 55, longed for a higher purpose than binge-watching Law and Order. Why wasn't Destiny calling? Had it lost her number? Then in stepped Martha Beck. Over a few sessions with our resident life coach, Dixie has made great strides. She's worked on thinking less and focusing more on her physical sensations, cultivating self-compassion, and paying attention to what brings her joy. Last month, Dixie told Martha about her idea for a blog called Dame Town, where she'd write about old-fashioned dame heroes and her own experiences. The hitch? She couldn't actually get going. Martha recommended starting small. Martha said, "You're an animal, and your motivational system works the way an animal's system works." That was Martha advising Dixie to train herself the way you train a killer whale, setting tiny goals and giving plenty of treats. Every morning, she'll write for only 10 minutes, then stop and give herself a reward. Eventually, Martha assured her she'll be begging to do more. Let's drop in to see whether Dixie's been jumping through her hoops. Martha Beck. "I can't believe this is the end of our time together. I miss you already. How are you these days?" Dixie. "Okay, first the good stuff. I'm blogging. People have already been sharing my posts on Facebook and giving me positive feedback. But I can't lie. I didn't do my writing every single morning. Sometimes I'd feel depressed or sleepy and I'd skip it. But there were also days when I'd say, 'I can do anything for 10 minutes. Once I started, I'd get so into it that I couldn't make myself stop, even though I knew you told me to." Martha, "What matters to me is that you did something that made you happy. I want you to notice how that feels in your body. Next time you're caught up in your writing, register the physical sensations you're experiencing, whether it's a warmth in your chest or an exhilarated tingledness. Keep looking for even the smallest things that evoke those feelings, and you'll be on the right track." That really is good stuff. So what's not working as well? Dixie, "I'm still unhappy about the weight I've gained since menopause, and that makes it hard to put photos of myself on the blog. I know nobody cares, but I do." Martha, "We always think a change in circumstances will transform the way we feel, but it's our feelings that change our circumstances. What if you just started acting as if you thought you were beautiful? Confidence issues can be self-fulfilling prophecy. When you feel insecure, you withdraw. The world picks up on that energy and leaves you alone, which keeps you in obscurity. One way to break the cycle is just to put yourself out there and say, 'This is who I am.' It's been my experience with clients that a little 'fake it till you make it' will not only alter the way people perceive you, it may also give you the confidence to make other changes that wind up helping you with your weight." Dixie, "I have a Jekyll and Hyde thing happening. I don't feel beautiful, but I also think, why can't everyone just wise up and love me the way they should? What's wrong with them?" Martha, "That's because part of you is connecting to a deeper truth. This reminds me of something that happened when I was starting to learn about horses. Do you think horses are beautiful?" Dixie, "Of course, I'm not crazy." Martha, Exactly. But when I went out looking at horses with an expert, he pointed at one and said, "She's so ugly." I was like, "What?" And he said, "Her cheekbones are all wrong and her ears go funny." I was dumbfounded. All horses are beautiful. They just are. The deepest part of us knows that every manifestation of consciousness is beautiful. But that's not what we see when we look at ourselves. Like that horse guy, we know how things are supposed to be, which robs us of the beauty that is genuinely present. If you can reawaken to the beauty that is genuinely present in you, which is what happens when you think, "What's wrong with people? Why don't they think I'm beautiful?" You're actually reconnecting with truth, which is going to free you. Dixie, I do believe that as I get older, I lose some assets but gain new ones. If you stop caring about the way you look at the time and focus instead on supporting others, you become more interested and interesting and more valuable and beautiful to other people. Martha, when you look back at your life and what really mattered, those moments of insight are what you'll be thinking about. It won't be how successful your blog became or anything else that happened. You'll think, "When I made this shift, that was the most important thing I ever did." Dixie, can I ask you about another of my obstacles? Martha, of course. Dixie, sometimes I get really upset about the terrible things that happen in the world. As I've told you, I love animals. If I happen to read a story about suffering animals, the sadness overwhelms me. I don't think it's crazy to feel bad, but I can't stop feeling bad. I get very depressed. Martha, I think suffering is often a steering mechanism. Witnessing others' pain can lead us to challenge our views of the world, which is how positive change occurs. There's a vast intelligence working through you, and maybe this empathy you feel for animals indicates that you can help them in some way. One day you may realize this is what you're meant to do, but your first mission is to alleviate your own suffering. That means letting go, bit by bit, of your fixed beliefs about what you should do or be, and seek things that feel true for you. That's how you'll come in to who you really are. Dixie, I've always been extremely politically opinionated, and I used to think of that as a fault, but maybe that can be a strength. It's like shopping your own closet. People think they'll feel better if they get new clothes, but instead of buying something, they could just take a fresh look at what they have. Martha, as you start to think this way, can you feel your life opening up? I've been paying attention to little else for years now, so I feel it pretty quickly when people get to this point, sometimes before they even realize it. To me, it's as tangible as if you put your hand out and I grabbed it. You're a quick study, Dixie. Dixie, I know I haven't been good about doing all my homework, but I've taken everything you've said very seriously and thought about it a lot. Martha, I'm excited for you because if you can hold this energy, you will continue to get results. And the more results you see, the more motivated you'll be. It's a self-reinforcing cycle of success. At a certain point, you'll start to experience what's called pronoia. Dixie, as opposed to paranoia? Martha, yes! You switch from paranoia, the feeling that everything is against you, to pronoia, the haunting suspicion that everything is conspiring on your behalf. It's like having an exponential growth spurt. Suddenly, things are going to work much, much better. Dixie, you're 100% right that it's hard for me to get out of my head and trust my gut intelligence. I'm going to do it, though, and not just so I can be whoever God and the universe want me to be. I also want to make you proud. Martha, I already am. And now we have a couple of pictures accompanying this. One's a black and white picture of Dixie in a Southwest design-inspired kind of caftan. She's sitting at a desk with her Apple computer, a laptop, and there's a picture of Gypsy Rose Lee, a black and white one in the corner, in this clear frame that's got sort of flowers, like toll painting, painted all around the edge. And it says, Dixie keeps a photo of Gypsy Rose Lee, a favorite dame, on her desk for inspiration. And then there's a small picture below that of her closet, and it's a long, skinny walk-in room with lots of shelves and a chest of drawers and scarves hanging on hooks and pictures on the wall. And it says, in her walk-in closet, formerly a kitchen, she channels her own inner dame. And now there's one more picture, and this is a handwritten list, and it's been framed. It's matted in a blue frame. It has a tiny little wooden frame around that, and there are a few little bric-a-brac sitting in front of it, some little hand-painted bird ornaments, and an Art Nouveau or Art Deco style figurine. And we have words to live by. So this was a hand-painted list. It says spiritual discipline at the top. So they've transcribed this that Dixie found at an antiques fair. They've transcribed it for us, and there are 8 of them. Number 1, never respond to devil-minded people's remarks or statements. Number 2, let your spirit control your mind, which controls your body. Number 3, think real good before answering questions and doing things. Number 4, never get angry. Number 5, be a peaceful and loving spirit. Number 6, listen very closely to people. Number 7, trust in God with all your spirit and lean not to your own understanding. And finally, number 8, always be kind and never turn to hate. And that wraps up Martha Beck for this month. Now we'll move to another one of our regular items in Oprah, and it's Let's Eat. And we've got a picture here. We're looking down at a plate, and there are some flour tortillas and black beans and avocados and some sauces and parsley, all piled up on this white plate, and a knife and a fork that are gold tone, and it's on sort of a black marble background. This title is called Take a Crack at It. In her latest cookbook, Chloe Flavor, celebrated vegan chef Chloe Coscarelli whips up an egg-free version of Muy Bueno brunch favorite. When I was growing up, my mom always made a hot breakfast for my brother and me. Cereal didn't really count as a meal in our house. The tradition stayed with me after I went vegan as a teenager, so I was constantly looking for ways to cook up a hearty, filling breakfast that didn't require eggs. It's challenging to veganize a ham and cheese omelet, but Huevo Rancheros is full of plant-based ingredients that made it fun to recreate the tastes and textures I craved. With a mix of tofu, tons of spice and seasoning, homemade ranchero sauce, black beans, and of course avocado, the dish is so immensely flavorful that when I serve it to my family now, nobody misses the eggs. And I'll apologize to everyone reading along with me that I don't know how to pronounce Spanish words, and I do make an effort to look them up before I come in and record Oprah for you, so I'm giving it my best shot. So here is our recipe for No Huevo Rancheros. In a large nonstick skillet over medium-high heat, heat 1 tablespoon of olive oil until shimmering. Add 3/4 cup diced onion and cook until softened, about 5 to 7 minutes. Add 1 15-ounce can of black beans that's been drained and rinsed. 1 16-ounce package of extra firm tofu, drained, patted dry, and lightly crumbled. And 8 ounces of ground seitan. And that is spelled S-E-I-T-A-N. And just in case you've folks are like me and are not familiar with this, it is a Japanese food product that is high in protein, and it's made from wheat gluten. So that's S-E-I-T-A-N. Cook a few minutes more until lightly browned, adding more oil if the mixture sticks. Add 1 tablespoon of nutritional yeast, 1 teaspoon of sea salt, 1/2 teaspoon of onion powder, 1/2 teaspoon of garlic powder, 1/2 teaspoon of taco seasoning, and 1/4 teaspoon of ground turmeric, and cook until fragrant, about 1 minute more. Add water, 1 tablespoon at a time, if tofu becomes dry. Reduce heat to medium-low and add 4 ounces, about 3 cups, of baby spinach, stirring until just wilted. Season with ground black pepper to taste. To assemble in a large skillet over medium-high heat, warm 8 soft corn tortillas, 2 at a time, for about 25 seconds on each side, using tongs to flip. Layer a few large spoonfuls of scramble on each tortilla. Top with ranchero sauce and a drizzle of lime sour cream. And garnish with a few avocado slices and chopped cilantro. Now, for the ranchero sauce and the lime sour cream, go to oprah.com/veganbrunch. Next up is the O list. A few spring things we think are just great. And on the first page, against a white backdrop, we have some golf shoes, and we have little golf tees sort of dancing in the air around these shoes, which are also kind of dancing in the air. T for shoe. Tory Burch's color blocked golf loafers with nifty little built-in tee pockets take you from course to clubhouse in style. Find a sweater that holds a 9-iron, and you can actually be your own caddy. These are $278 at torysport.com. And now let's look at them. They are color blocked. They have pale mint green sides, a baby blue top, pastel pink on a band that goes just above the toes and at the heel. And then they have some white piping around the toe and the foot opening, and they have a thick white sole. And they also have that little white pocket where a penny loafer would have a slot for a penny. And they show golf tees inside these little pockets. We turn the page, and we have lots more pastels for spring. We have a trio of stacking pots here right in the middle of the page. Shall we dance? This pot is legal in every state, it says. It goes from oven to table with a lid that doubles as a trivet and enamel coating that's as durable as it is gorgeous. And you will recognize these sleek Danish contemporary pots. They've been around for a while. The sides aren't perfectly straight. They have just a little bit of a gentle curve. And they have blonde wooden handles. And they have that cross design on the lid so that you can use it as a trivet. You can put the lid down, then you can put the pot on it, and you've got a trivet. They are indeed enameled. The top one is yellow enameled, the lid, even the big cross design on the top. The middle one is a pastel lavender, and then at the very bottom we have a pale blush pink. Coben style cookware, originally $86 each, now 20% off with code Oprah at dansk.com. In the upper left-hand corner of this page, we have a nice spring pastel mint green 3-layer chocolate cake. Well, the icing, the buttercream icing, is mint green, but they've got a big chunk sliced out of it, and you can see deep, rich, dark chocolate layers. The layered look, it says. Is it the 3 layers of French Valhona chocolate cake filled with Belgian chocolate ganache? Or is it the mint Swiss meringue buttercream? Or could it be the silky peony that made us fall so in love? It is. There's a pale pink silk peony on the top. Originally $95 to $125, now 20% off with code Oprah, thecakebakeshop.com. Below that, we have some earrings. Saturday evening posts. Add a pop of pastel to jeans or a white shirt, or brighten up a little black dress with these versatile hand-woven spheres dangling from 18-karat gold-plated quartz stone. So at the very top, we have a little brushed gold sort of button post and a couple of little links of gold chain, and below that is a faceted quartz in a gold bezel. And sort of an oval shape, and then with a couple of links that is connected to a dangling sphere, a ball that's a little bit larger than the oval quartz, and it has been wrapped in like a thick silky thread. The first pair shown here is in lime green, the second one is in pink, and the third pair is in lavender. The Bon Bon Collection Gumball Earrings, originally $65 per pair, now 20% off with code OPRA at SissyYatesDesigns.com. Now let's look a little food, not your grandma's balls. A matzo industry grows in Brooklyn thanks to Ashley Albert and Kevin Rodriguez, two pals who set out to build a better ball. Kosher, vegetarian, and all natural, these mixes are so easy. You'll have extra time to vetch about standing over a hot stove all day. Do not pass over these treats. Matzo ball mix and matzo ball soup kit, originally $12, now 20% off with code OPRA at matzoproject.com. And one more item on this page, we have a nice comfy wrap robe. Lounge act, it says. Enveloping yourself in this insanely soft Turkish towel of a cotton robe proves once again that simple pleasures are the best. Just add a good cup of coffee and the Sunday paper. Fuda striped robe, originally $115, now 20% off with code OPRA at Casatex.com. That's Casa with a K. It's pale blue and white 2-inch horizontal stripes. It's a wrap robe with a self belt. On the next page, in the middle of the page, we have a lovely ornament, a lovely arrangement of fresh flowers. Pale pink roses, deep pink snapdragons, and lots of green foliage. Fresh as a daisy is the heading. Sisters Christine and Caroline Zalka have founded a subscription-based flower kit company. Blossoms fresh from the fields come straight to your door, along with tools, beautiful containers, and step-by-step videos for creating Instagram-worthy arrangements that let you unleash your inner flower child. DIY Flower Arrangement Kit. Originally $59 per bouquet, now 20% off with code OPRA. It's BYU.com. And also on this page, we have a sweater. Zen Palette reads the heading, cotton candy luscious and softer than an Easter bunny's nose. This two-ply cashmere V-neck is the color of spring. And it has horizontal bands of pale pink, cotton candy pink, and off-white, and sort of a lemony yellow. It's white plus Warren sweater, $330 at whiteandwarren.com. We have a trio of phone cases on long skinny straps here, and the heading says lighten up. Do you really need to go to lunch with a 67-pound bag hanging off your shoulder when you're crossbody? Leather iPhone case that has two hidden snap pockets for money and ID will do. Bandolier Carly wallet cases, originally $88 each, now 20% off with code OPRA, bandolierstyle.com. So they're shown here in three colors. We have a pastel pink, a pastel lime green, and a pastel periwinkle blue. The leather cases with their little snapped compartment and their separate long, skinny, sort of 3/4 inch wide straps in the same leather also have kind of a black banding around the case itself. Now move over, Fabergé. This set of eggs comes with three dark Valrhona chocolate eggs, a paintbrush, and six colored cocoa butters. So kids, and by kids we mean you, can decorate their own candy and eat it too. Color Chocolates Easter Coloring Kit, $28. Go to store.colorchocolates.com. That's color with a K. And they show them here. One egg completely undecorated. The next egg, and they have all the little pots of, we'll call it paint, but they're the cocoa butters in different colors. They have 6 little pots, different colors there. One egg has just been sprinkled so that it has little dots of spackles of different colors on it. The next egg has looks like it's been dipped and swirled so that it almost has a marble effect in greens and whites. Now, one more item on this page, some backpacks. Keep chic and carry on. Durable, lightweight, spacious, and trimmed in leather. Not even a turtle gets to haul something this nicely designed on its back. Dooney and Burke Miramar Large Murphy Backpacks, $228 each at Dooney.com. The first one is in an intense deep mint green with tan straps and tassels. And the next one is in a really deep sky blue, again with the tan straps and the tan tassels. We'll move next to the reading room, and our next book review is entitled Boomtown. The book itself is called Gun Love. A daughter comes of age amid the tattered and trigger-happy. Early in Penn International President Jennifer Clement's fourth novel, Gun Love, Pearl and her mother Margot hear that conjoined baby alligators have emerged from a creek near the trailer park where they reside. Before long, reporters arrive to inspect the woebegone creatures. They're found bound to a palm tree with sewing thread. 3 days later, they're dead and the reporters have fled. When Pearl and Margot eventually go to see the wreckage for themselves, they discover the final indignity. Someone has blown the alligators to bits. Gun Love makes a compelling home of Florida's overlooked corners, like the scruffy piece of property adjacent to the town dump, where Margot and Pearl live out of their Mercury Topaz, a vast distance from the tourist-filled beaches and theme parks. In Pearl's eyes, quote, "We were nowhere," end of quote. Yet, from this nowhere, Clement has created a singularly vivid somewhere. Margot, a former child of wealth, keeps stashes of Limoges porcelain and Baccarat wine glasses in the car's trunk. A neighbor plants 63 Barbie dolls outside her trailer, perplexing the bees that hover around their synthetic heads. A pastor organizes volunteers to hold up signs alongside the highway advertising a drive-through prayer. At the trailer park, Pearl's existence is threatened by two forces, guns and bad men. In the novel's buoyantly episodic opening chapters, gunfire is everywhere. Later, the sound is invasive as a choking vine. Eli, a new arrival, courts Pearl's mother and lands them knee-deep in a dangerous plot, leading to a collision that will alter Pearl's life forever. Though this world is harrowing, it's also fortified with ample wit and tenderness. The sweet sorrow of doomed maternal love is at the novel's thrumming center, as is the author's cockeyed affection for the region. Pearl tells us, quote, "In our part of Florida, everything was puzzled," end of quote. Gun Love potentially illuminates this puzzled land and the complicated fates of those who dwell in the pockets visitors won't find on a map. Our next book review is entitled The Innocents. With his stirring new novel, the author of A Cure for Suicide pays homage to his brother. Jesse Ball's Census, that's the name of the book, Census, is a fantastical road trip novel about a widower and his developmentally disabled son on a journey across a post-industrial dystopia. At the same time, it's Ball's autobiographical exploration of the blessings and complications of life with his sibling, Abram, who had Down syndrome and died in 1998 at the age of 24. The book's singular brilliance lies in its blending of fiction and memoir. An unnamed father-son pair is tasked by an enigmatic census bureau with surveying citizens and then marking their ribs with tattoos. In sparse, evocative prose, the father chronicles their treks through increasingly desolate towns. His central concern, the spectrum, from cruelty to kindness will have particular resonance for anyone close to a differently abled person who wonders, when my beloved vulnerable one goes forth into society, how will she be greeted? Will they perceive her humanity, her splendor, or will they register only her otherness? The novel's enchanting son brother figure, who lives in, quote, a world without names, wherein we see what is and are impressed by it, end of quote, holds essential lessons for the father, who admits he is overly inclined to label things. His son teaches him the value of, quote, trying not in our attitudes or speech to lay the world out in hierarchies, end of quote. This wise, category-defying book eloquently argues that we must also resist categorizing one another. The next review is entitled The Meaning of It All, an acclaimed fiction writer grapples with the profound. The titular question of Marilyn Robinson's luminous and brainily raucous What Are We Doing Here? Is directed in an essay of the same name at those who work to keep critical thinking alive. She asks, quote, what are we doing here, we professors of English, end of quote. In these 15 trenchant pieces on humanism, nationalism versus patriotism, the divine, she ponders the unanswerable on multiple levels. What does this strange political moment augur? What is our role, morally, spiritually, intellectually, in the universe? For example, Robinson argues that at public universities, true learning, which imparts an appreciation for the arts and humanities as, quote, the most pregnant evidence we can have of what is possible in us, end of quote, is being sacrificed on the altar of perceived employability, most particularly for the working classes. To Robinson, this matters not just in principle, but because a liberal arts education shouldn't be an elitist enterprise. It is essential to, quote, the survival of our American experiment. This country is in a state of bewilderment that cries out for good history, end of quote, she writes. Robinson is known as the author of ethereal and psychologically tough novels, such as Housekeeping, Lilla, and Gilead, winner of the 2005 Pulitzer Prize, but she has easily donned the mantle of public intellectual. Most of these pieces predate the 2016 election, which makes her work seem thrillingly prescient. Robinson's unapologetic opinions will doubtlessly ruffle a few feathers. She argues for the Puritans and against Churchill. Her piece in praise of Obama, calling him, quote, a philosopher, perhaps a theologian, end of quote, is among her strongest and most memorable. But what's indisputable is that with this volume, Robinson claims her place as an essential thinker, a modern, homebred Tocqueville, and offers a wake-up call for the soul and for the nation. We have one last item in the reading room, and this is a sidebar titled The Revolution Will Be Televised. In 2006, the late Christopher Hitchens published an essay called Why Women Aren't Funny. In it, he proclaimed that most females, quote, bless their tender hearts, end of quote, lack the humor gene. Harumph! Answers Joy Press's rollicking ode to the visionaries who saw an absence of stories like theirs on TV and set out to fill the void. Stealing the Show, the name of the book, honors these small screen shatterers: Diane English, Shonda Rhimes, Roseanne Barr, Tina Fey, Amy Schumer, Jenji Cohen, Jill Soloway, Mindy Kaling, Lena Dunham, among them, who've collectively reshaped television and its treatment of women. Here we learn that it was Amy Poehler who persuaded a reluctant Faye to play the lead in 30 Rock, reminding her it wouldn't have occurred to Jerry Seinfeld or Ray Romano that they weren't, quote, good enough to star in a network show, end of quote. That the Gilmore Girls spoke with such fast-talking confidence, many suspected the writer was actually Aaron Sorkin. That the true calling heeded by Broad City's Abby Jacobson and Alana Glazer was to create woman characters who are, quote, unpolished and fart, end of quote. Now that's funny. Let's look now at Adam's style sheet. Break away from the humdrum and bring some bold to your wardrobe, says Adam. How to nail this look? New to making a style statement? Take baby steps with standout accessories. Eclectic earrings or shoes are an easy way to give your outfit oomph. The second tip, pattern mixing 101. Start with stripes. They're the most neutral, feel current, and can ground just about any print you put them with. Tip number three, to mix hues successfully, think of a color wheel. Some never fail pairings, shades that are opposites, like blue and orange, or tone-on-tone combos, like red and pink, or lavender and violet. And finally, number four, no matter what striking ensemble you choose, wear it with confidence. Owning your look is the finishing touch and can make all the difference. Now, with those tips in mind, let's look at a couple of these items, a couple of these pairings. The first one in the center of the page has a neon red. It's brighter than a fire engine. Double-breasted jacket, four buttons, and it's kind of a cutaway. That seems to be the look. It has wide lapels. It's a notched collar. Very classic styling with the inset pockets, and where it overlaps, instead of just meeting all the way to the hem, it kind of cuts away at an angle, and it has black buttons. Now, this bright red blazer is paired with equally bright magenta cropped pants. The blazer is $128 from loft.com. They show it here with a little knit top, ribbed knit top in the same color, which is $132 from autumncashmere.com. The cropped pants are $79 from chicos.com. And there's a little side note here. It says special fabric has a smoothing effect on your tummy. It has a really wide band and is very flat on the front. The crop pants are. Now, they show a pair of heels, $99, from louise.g.com. They are in kind of an antique silver. They're covered over the toe, very pointed toe, open at the back. What we would call a slingback. They're not a super high stiletto, but they are a slender heel, and they have an ankle strap. Now, what does Adam say about this? Two vivid colors are better than one. Try this perfectly balanced dynamic duo. Red conveys power, and pink has a feminine flair. Now, here's another play with patterns suggestion. Don't be afraid to mix prints. Just stay within one color family to keep things chic. And what they show here is a pair of pants that are kind of full. They're $99 from Chico's. They're a print, and it's a large medallion pattern that has kind of an Asian or Indian look, and the medallions look almost like flowers. And they're in greens that range kind of from olive to mint. And there's a little bit of white background. And there are some blues and lavenders with a few orange accents in here. Now, they show this with a, and this is kind of a tunic meets Oxford cloth shirt combination. And it's in that same sort of green that is not quite olive, but not quite sort of a minty green. It's a narrow stripe, and this shirt has just a band at the neckline, a tab, four buttons, and it has a dolman sleeve, which ends in what looks like a French cuff. It's very long. It comes below the hip with a shirt tail hem. It's gathered tightly all around the neckline, so it's very full, and it has a self belt. This belted shirt is $299 from mrlarkin.net. There's a handbag on this that's shown with these items. It has these same sort of variations of greens, from kind of the mint to the winter green, and then a little bit of sort of a pale blush pink in it. And it is sort of an envelope bag with a gold clasp. It is from M. Missoni Stores, and it's $545. Another item on this page, under the heading Let Lingerie Peek Out, is a sheer black bustier. The glimpse of a bustier under an evening suit reveals without being risque. This bodysuit is from DKNY, and it's $78 at Macy's. Macy's. The bra cups are solid, but the rest of the bustier is a sheer black fabric. And then we have some statement earrings. Dazzle in danglers. Eye-catching earrings are everything. They frame your face in fabulousness, play off the tones of your outfit, and take the most casual look up a notch. So we have three pairs of earrings here. The first is a very sort of modern abstract take on dangling hoop earrings. They're flat, asymmetrical, sort of almost oblong or oval, gold hoops, and there's a small one at the top, a larger one at the bottom, and they have pearls attached to the flat surface. They're $230, and they're from LizzieFortunato.com, and they are gold. The next pair is kind of wide, and it's tiers of dangly, iridescent, greenish sort of mother of pearl. And these are $150 at Kendra Scott. And finally, from TrinaTurk.com, we have two interlocking gold circles, and the bottom gold circle has a bright pink bead sort of trapped in that circle, and that's $68. Next, we have an article entitled High Tea. We have a picture of a group of women, almost a dozen of them, dressed for a garden party with hats and floral dresses and white gloves, and they're all sitting around sipping tea out of elegant china teacups. And it says, a pair of female marijuana mavericks has brewed up a new way to wind down. I'm standing in the immaculate kitchen of a Spanish-style two-story in prim Palo Alto, California, next to a built-in beverage fridge. Tacked up on the wall is a family school year schedule full of alerts regarding band practice and errands. Thursday, pick up Kristen's dress from Taylor. Amid the roar of small talk, women decked out in ladylike ensembles and formal hats adorned with feathers and crisp lace buzz around platters of tea sandwiches. Jennifer Chapin, a polished 54-year-old entrepreneur, is wearing a showstopper of a party frock, pearls, and fuchsia opera gloves. I'm in a Forever 21 denim jacket and infinitely more familiar with cocktails than cocktail dresses, but we're in conversational lockstep. She feels like an old friend I've reconnected with after decades apart. That's probably because I'm super, super stoned. I arrived at the tiled roof home in an Uber, since I knew I'd be spending the evening sipping hot tea infused with high-grade cannabis. That's the featured offering from Kikoko, the tea brand launched in 2014 by Chapin and travel writer Amanda Jones. Local friends and friends of friends of Kiko throw these high tea parties a couple of times a month, inviting women to get fuzzy at retro-themed soirees. Jones, a longtime costume collector with an excruciatingly lovely New Zealand accent and the warm elegance of an Eileen Fisher catalog, brings along dozens of vintage hats. Wearing one during the party is pretty much mandatory. Each high tea includes a brief PowerPoint presentation on the history of and hysteria surrounding cannabis. Until California's pot laws changed in January, limiting sales to licensed dispensaries and delivery services, the events were like 21st century Tupperware parties, except instead of going home with a cupcake carrier, you got some cheerfully labeled narcotics. Now, although you can't buy at the gatherings, you can still leave with enough of a buzz to make even C-SPAN funny. Most of the guests tonight are newcomers to Kikoko, or pot in general. Chapin estimates that 70% haven't tried the tea before. As they walk in, a few faces are fixed in a, quote, "my friend talked me into this," end of quote, rictus. Others look ready for the feds to kick down the door. Several more have clearly been at the business end of a vape pen before, if their impish smiles and chunky hippie jewelry are any indication. At most parties, the initial awkwardness would be drowned out by a waterfall of rosé, but no alcohol is served at Kikoko gatherings, lest it amplify the tea's effects and turn a meant-to-be mellow night into a mom's-gone-wild rager. The Kikoko devotees sand the edges off the mood, though, warming up newbies with small talk. "Have things been so crazy at work?" and catch up on the kids' chatter. "I heard she kicked ass at the swim meet." 3 20-something bud tenders in 50s-style dresses act as on-the-fly educators. "How high would you like to get?" the model pretty Riley asks me, with a gentle tilt of her pillbox hat, as we discuss my pot use. I typically smoke it 2 or 3 times a week. There goes my career as a Republican senator. So she recommends the sensually tea, saying, quote, "it's really good for conversation," end of quote. But since that's the second strongest of Kikoko's products, and I'm worried about forgetting how to operate my tape recorder, I go for a lower dose option called sympathy. Quote, "How about you pick a teacup that really speaks to you?" end of quote, Riley suggests, gesturing at a dining room table laid with 70 colorful sets of antique china teacups and saucers. I choose an English rose pattern, which Riley fills with a deep pink tea from a hefty stainless steel urn. I'm pleasantly surprised. Expecting chamomile-scented bong water, I instead get a blend of ginger and orange, with only the faintest ghost-like aftertaste of marijuana. The house's owner is Tara, a former attorney wearing an elaborately constructed black hat as big as an industrial wok. She's been smoking pot regularly since college, but looks like she could break into an impromptu decathlon at any moment. She says, quote, "I'm very into nutrition and fitness. I don't like alcohol. Everybody I know would easily drink a half a bottle to a bottle of wine at night, but then they wake up feeling crappy and dehydrated," end of quote. Ellen, a blonde OBGYN in a crimson dress, concurs, saying, quote, "We're the demographic you associate with alcohol. I mean, try to buy a birthday card for a friend that doesn't say, 'let's get drunk,'" end of quote. Unlike most of the women I speak with who double and triple check that I won't print even their first names in O, Tara isn't shy about her fondness for herb, which makes her husband anxious. She says, quote, "He told me, 'You know, if you have this party, you're going to be shunned by polite society.' I said, 'Bring it on. My parents are weed smokers who never touch alcohol, and they look so young. My dad doesn't have an ache or pain. My mom didn't need any drugs for menopause, and everybody kept saying, 'We have to meet the Kikoko ladies.' So here we are," end of quote. Earlier today, on the back deck of Jones's pristine modernist home with a view of Mount Diablo, Jones and Chapin ran down their company's origin story over grain salads and seltzer. It began with watching a friend endure ovarian cancer. Chapin said, quote, "She was using cannabis to medicate, and it was helping with sleep and pain and nausea and appetite," end of quote. Chapin is a former tennis coach with a tomboy vibe and a businesswoman's savvy. She goes on to say, quote, "The problem was she was getting way too high. She was crawling to the bathroom on her hands and knees, but she came from the medical industry and saw the opportunities, so she encouraged me to start a company," end of quote. Chapin enlisted longtime friend Jones. Their pals were more than supportive. She goes on to say, quote, everyone was like, now that you're in your 50s, people are medicating with this, that, and the other pill. If you can come up with an alternative to pharmaceuticals in tea form, we'd love it. End of quote. The partner's goal? To provide a low-dose product that would serve as an easy entry point for the uninitiated. Edibles on the market often contain 10 milligrams per serving of THC, the psychoactive compound in pot that makes you feel high. Kakoko teas contain between 3 and 10 milligrams. Jones says, quote, people told us, with those low doses, you'll be laughed out of dispensaries. But we couldn't function on 10 milligrams back then. I mean, it was fun when we'd lie around laughing, but, end of quote. Chapin and Jones self-funded their baby with $80,000 its first year, banking on the fact that Americans are increasingly seeing pot as a panacea rather than a prescription for reefer madness. Jones pointed out, quote, it's been used for thousands of years as a medicine, plus in states where medical cannabis is legalized, the number of opioid deaths has dropped by around 25%. It seems like a logical and much healthier alternative. Customer-wise, we thought we'd focus on people like us, since women in their 40s, 50s, and 60s weren't well addressed in the marketplace. End of quote. She wasn't kidding. A scan of dispensary shelves confirms pot's dude-centric culture. Think strains called Super Skunk, Skywalker, or the inscrutable Where's My Bike? And the world of weed seems almost intentionally buck wild, as if consumer aims to get high enough to, excuse me, as if every consumer aims to get high enough to blank on their own last name. T-shirts for pot producer Fat Panda urge you to melt my face, while the logo for Voodoo Sours Medicated Candy is a drooling zombie with pinwheel eyes. In that dank and druggy context, Kikoko was an outlier. Jones says, quote, but now the people who refuse to take us seriously are coming back, wanting to invest. I have to say, I feel a little bit smug about that, end of quote. She and Chapin leaned in for a fist bump. Kakoko, the name, a combo of Hawaiian syllable and a Samoan word, doesn't have an especially deep meaning. Chapin and Jones just like the way it sounded. Packages its wares in Marimekko-esque cans. The blends have pun-drenched monikers. Each label explains its tea's raison d'etre in jokey text to your sister prose. Sensually tea intensifies the big O and helps you, quote, find your tea spot, end of quote. While sympathy dials down pain and creates an effect that, quote, feels like you just had an awesome massage, end of quote. Positivity, the option with the highest THC level, is geared toward a more social, hysterical, laughter-filled experience, though as the can reassures, quote, you won't get crazy high, end of quote. By the spring, Jones says, Kikoko products with prices ranging from $40 to $60 for a 10-sachet can will be available in more than 30 storefront dispensaries in California, and depending on local legislation, may be dropped off at customers' homes by one of 20 online delivery services in the state. Conceived in Silicon Valley, the brand is in sync with the white-collar impulses toward disruption, innovation, and affluence that fueled the tech boom. We'll have to end that article now and go to what I know for sure, Oprah's closing comments. Oprah says, giving an acceptance speech at the Golden Globes, and they have a picture of Oprah doing that here, is a little tricky. Sometimes everything goes exactly according to plan. No tripping on your way to the podium. No wardrobe malfunction. No music playing you off when you've still got three thank yous to go. Other times, you take your trophy, sit back down, and find out you've accidentally started running for president. To everyone who says I must have known I was arousing political interest by giving that speech, for sure I was only trying to land the speech in the room and as far beyond as my words would carry. I'd been looking for a way to reconcile historic gender and racial injustices with the current hashtag MeToo and Time's Up movements. I come from a line of domestic workers, a grandmother and mother, who were never allowed to say MeToo. They endured. I wanted to speak for every woman who couldn't speak for herself and to honor those who found the courage to be a larger voice for our time. And then Recy Taylor died. I saw her obituary and knew immediately she was the connection between the past and this moment. I appreciate and am humbled and sincerely moved by everyone's enthusiasm in the wake of my speech. I'm grateful to those who heard the message. I wanted to say something about race and class and gender and express my deep admiration for each person who is at long last telling their truth without fear or guilt or shame. And I wanted to make clear that nobody should ever have to compromise their values or integrity for a job. My plan was to thank the women in their gorgeous black gowns and the men in their Time's Up buttons for fighting the good fight and to convey my gratitude to those who stood together on the front lines of change, from the thousands who marched across a bridge in Selma 53 years ago to the millions who joined the Women's March in January, proving once again that power doesn't trickle down, it rises up. Oprah 2020 was never my aim. My life's goal is to be of service to a greater good. Wherever that true calling takes me, I've always been willing to go. It's just that as boisterous and energizing as the reaction to my speech was, other people's enthusiasm isn't the same as a calling. I think it was a yearning for a different way of envisioning the world, a world where all humans have value, where the number one goal is elevating humanity. That I do strive for. And I know this for sure. As long as I've got a voice and a vote, I can use them to lift up humankind and human consciousness. I want everyone to feel that they belong and are worth standing up for, that no matter what darkness you've lived through, there's someone out there willing to carry the light that will lead you to your own true north. That there is good in our world. I refuse to be quiet in the face of injustice, and perhaps the best thing about America is that, young or old, rich or poor, no matter your race, whatever your religion or your sexual orientation, you too can stand up and speak out. No better moment than this. Oprah. With that, we've run out of time. I'm Susan Dellinger, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.